Nation Station, Mix Radio.
Good afternoon, it's 6 minutes past 12 midday. The Man in Line is in session on Manx Radio through till 1. Thanks for joining in the conversation today. Call 66 13 68, text 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. So another new case of COVID-19 yesterday. So far the tests go like this, 13,776 tests have been conducted, 13,760 have been concluded, which means we're 16 people waiting for the results of a test, and 42 people awaiting tests at the moment on the Isle of Man. It seems that it's really in a state of flux at the moment, we can say, looking across at the UK, and obviously that affects lots of people simply because we have got people waiting to come to the Isle of Man in the form of students who will be coming back to the Isle of Man for Christmas time. And of course, we do have key workers in and out. So things seems to be not getting better at the moment. So there's a bit of a geographic split in England, certainly with the north and the south showing different R rates. More than 1,200 non-resident key workers have been allowed to come to the Isle of Man since the border restrictions came into force in March. But questions over awareness of the rules for such workers, along with returning residents, have been in sharp focus over the last week. Two groups of visiting workers appeared in court last week. Five welders from Doncaster were jailed. Three workers in the petrochemical industry from Swansea were given suspended custodial sentences. There have been other self-isolation breaches in recent months. Looking at the situation is Tim Glover.
We've had issues with key workers and local residents not obeying the rules as far back as late June.
Police are investigating reports that key workers who came into the Isle of Man from Jersey broke pre-agreed coronavirus rules. The group entered the island last week after receiving a certificate which meant they were exempt from self-isolation but only under strict guidelines. They've since left the island, but questions have been raised as to whether they followed the rules set out for them by government. In Jersey, there are still...
This matter is still unresolved and remains under investigation. At the end of the same month, June, two visiting hospital workers were described as reckless when they stopped to watch football at two pubs en route to buying a meal after arriving from England. Interestingly, they escaped prison and were handed a four-week sentence suspended for a year. Then in August, a returning local...
A man in his 60s has been sentenced to 6 weeks in custody for failing to self-isolate. The 64-year-old appeared in court and pleaded guilty to the charge. Officers have used this example alongside a plea for people to follow the rules as the best defence the island has.
The Douglas man had returned to the island and advertised his misdemeanours on Facebook, having been to the Rosemount convenience shopping centre on a bus and then into the Manx Arms. Later in August, there was the woman from Belfast who had permission to come over to deal with her late mother's estate. She travelled from Castletown to Douglas by bus to visit a locksmith. She got a four-week sentence. Later in the same month, a 64-year-old man got 4 weeks for failing to self-isolate on his return to the island. In September, a 36-year-old woman was remanded for being at her local shop 24 hours after returning. There were other motoring charges to be considered here. And then the three Welsh key workers here to carry out work for Ellen Vanin Fuels.
Breaking news this hour. Three key workers from Swansea who failed to self-isolate when they came to the island have been given suspended sentences and fines.
Already this month, we've had the man who went to his GP surgery in Ramsey just days after returning from Thailand. He got 4 weeks at Jerby. And, of course, the highly publicised case of the five welders from Doncaster over the past week.
Well, the manager of the jail welders says a clearer message is needed And the island's infrastructure minister, Tim Baker MHK, agrees. He thinks that more can be done to communicate the rules to people coming to the Isle of Man.
Anybody applying to come to the Isle of Man has to go through a very clear process. And as part of that, there is lots of information given to them, which clearly set out what the parameters are. And
it's not quite the same as saying you will go to jail if you don't do this.
No, and I think I was always taught that the art of communication is over-communication, and you need to tailor the message for different audiences and different levels. So, can and should we be doing better? I believe that.
So we're going to get more bold notices, perhaps, in the airport, in the entrepôts, the airport, and down at the sea terminal.
Well, I think there's a combination of things that we can and should do. I mean, clearly, we need to have a clear approach to this, and of course, that whole repatriation and admission to the island is led by Cabinet Office. From a DOI ports point of view, clearly we're very happy to support that and to put whatever notices up they suggest, and I'm sure the Steam Packet Company will be very happy to work in the same way.
But do you think we need bolder notices?
I think, as I said earlier, John, that the art of communication is to over-communicate, and the clearer you make a message, the more people.
That seems to indicate you say that's a yes, is it?
I think you always have to do more. So a short answer is yes.
Tim Baker, MHK. The Isle of Man government's confirmed that the announcements have now been prepared for use on board the boat, and discussions are taking place with airlines. In a statement, the Manx government also says it continues to focus on enabling the Isle of Man to function while managing the risks posed by the pandemic. And how this is done is constantly being reviewed. Well, short of putting 3-foot bold type signs saying you could go to jail, what more can we say? We're relying on people to read the notices, take notice, and believe what they read and behave accordingly. And palpably, the vast majority of people are doing that. Quite what else we can do, well, we'll have to see. I just wonder what your overall feeling is now, in that this has been going on for months. This has been going on for an awful long time now. We are months into this crisis. It probably has many more months to go. Who knows how long it has to go to run? And already people are trying to conduct the inquiry as to what's going to come afterwards. But do you think it's too much to ask that we just focus on what we do now rather than, what we're going to do in the future? Are we living this day to day and coping with what happens? It's obviously a disease that's new in humans, and the statistics, treatments and information changing. Lots of people are working hard. Lots of people are trying new vaccines. That's why, really, grinding axes, well, is it going to lead you anywhere? Of course, nobody has a crystal ball, and there's no existing playbook on how to deal with this outbreak of coronavirus. But I'm just interested to know how you feel on the day, and whether or not your views have changed over the past few months. Of course, lots of things are going to change as we get closer to Christmas. It's, 11-odd weeks away. And that's when, certainly before that, students are going to be coming back to the Isle of Man. Pat dropped me a note and said, regarding the key workers, we got Tim Baker apologising for not telling people again and again and again and again about our coronavirus rules and making the guilty party. These five welders knew the rules. The guy admitted knowing there were rules, and for him then to say he just advised them not to go into the supermarket, he drove them there. You can't just drive past Tesco. And as for being an adventure for them, as Mick Downing said, it beggars belief. Well, too right it does, says Pat. They were not here for an adventure. They're here to work, and probably we're getting well paid for it. What planet are these guys on? I'm sure the families of our prisoners are glad they're allowed to come here now because they're forbidden to visit. For kids on an adventure to bring COVID to our island, I think is a disgrace. No wonder the UK's in a mess. I'm furious that they put lives at risk, says Pat. Howard joins us. Good afternoon, Howard.
Hello, Andy. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I've just read the internet there this morning. I was curious. I said to my wife yesterday, These welders that came over, one of them allegedly tested positive, and they have now been released. Is that particular person, if this is true, has that person been released and is in the community, or has been put into isolation? And if they've all gone back home again, how did this individual travel? Because he would have to go on board a vessel and either isolate it or mix with the people on board, or go by air and, again, mixing with people on board.
Well, we're at the 10 o'clock meeting, we always have a 10 o'clock meeting every day around the news team just to see what's happening. And we're certainly asking the questions because nobody quite knows whether they've left prison yet. And as you say, where they're going to go.
Yeah, because the last one, well, they said they will have an escort to the ferry. But once they get on that ferry, they have open house to wander around. Will they be isolated? There are five people, and in my memory, the cabins on board there are only four berth cabins. So that would, in essence, be two cabins that would have to be allocated to them. But that's not what I came on for, because listening to you talking about the notices, etc., and it brought back, as I say, I worked for Manx Petroleum for 30-odd years, and at one time I was a shop steward. And we had problems with Esso, with people driving onto forecourts while we were offloading petrol. The forecourts, this is all over the island, had to be shut. And that was the law, but we had at the time, health and safety was not as strong as it is today, but a meeting was called between the police, the health and safety, and the various petrol companies, Shell, Esso, and we sat down and we discussed this, how we were going to stop it. And again, the suggestion was put notices up. But people coming in onto the forecourt, and I said, any more than 10 words on a board and the people won't read it. They'll glance at the headline and they won't read the rest. So any boards or any paperwork that's going up in the sea terminal and the airport will have to be short and sweet. Anything there where they got these miles and miles of reading, people are just going to glance at it and walk past it. And their mind, it just won't take it in. They're not going to stop because they have other things on their mind when they're going through both terminals. So it would have to be short and sweet. And on board the aircraft and on board the vessels, both vessels, it should be continually that isolation is mandatory. Not requested, it is mandatory. And it should be pushed home because these people are coming onto our island, which we were boasting 100-odd days COVID-free. But now, on each occasion where this has been introduced, it's been somebody coming back. And it's been introduced back onto the island.
Interesting point then, Howard. 10 words. That's interesting because that will, I can see what you're saying. The more words, the less the message is going to get through.
Yes, because people's eyes, they will see that headline. But then it's like reading the headline on the paper boards outside, blah, 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 but they won't read what the story's about. They'll make an assumption and move on. And especially if they're looking for a taxi, for a bus or for friends, they're not going to stop and read this. But if it's short and sweet and they have the announcements on the vessels and it's drummed home because there's 100 miles of water, 3/4 of an hour on a plane, 3.5 hours on a boat, if they can't get the message in that time, then there's something seriously wrong with them and they deserve to go to jail.
Okay. All right, Howard.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. 12:20. They could probably learn a lot from the people who've been doing communications for a long time, and that is the press, the newspapers. If ever you look at a newsstand and the kind of sign that says what are the headlines, they never use more than 5 words. On a newsstand to tell you what the story is. Encapsulating the story in 5 words is a terrific art that the press have had for years and years. Maybe they should teach the government communications people. I think they're all ex-newspaper anyway. David said, Andy, I was surprised to learn how many key workers have been permitted to enter the Isle of Man since our borders closed, an average of 6 to 7 every day. Were all of these people necessary to carry out essential work that no Manx person was qualified to do, or are applications merely rubber-stamped? Perhaps the government could publish a breakdown showing the type of work for which a key worker, the entry permit was granted, and also state how many applications were refused, says David. Thank you, David. Well, we've certainly had some conversations in with people. I know for a fact the hospice has been denied people who are going to work at the hospice. They've been denied access to the Isle of Man. They weren't classed as key workers. So, yes, the applications aren't merely rubber stamped. Some people do get knocked back. Mary in Ramsey said, after having been to a UK hospital for emergency treatment, I've just completed my 14 days self-isolating at my home address where I live with my husband. Worked okay for us. He had the bedroom and the bathroom upstairs. I had the same, but downstairs. We only used the kitchen when necessary. Husband cooked for me and I left it outside my door. Just had to be quick before the dogs got there first. At no time during those 14 days did anybody from the government make contact with me by telephone or home visit. And Mary says, I'm unimpressed by this. I just think there's a lack of consistency. Is this happening a lot? I'd be interested to know. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, Mary. Good to hear from you. Thanks for your kind words. Mary says, I'm not brave enough to phone in. You don't need to be brave. Barry's very gentle. But thanks for that. Interesting. It may be that they know you're very well behaved, Mary. I'm only joking. But obviously they do random checks. We've had notes in from people who say they've been checked 2, 3 and 4 times. Andy, could you ask the Chief Minister to stop any more students leaving for university this week? Come Christmas, our COVID-free status could be lost with returnees. We love the Isle of Man. We must protect our invaluable COVID-free status. There's something money can't buy. COVID-free status. Not many places in the world can say that. David, I'm concerned the government's done nothing apart from maintaining the status quo to reduce the risk of an outbreak of coronavirus on the island. In response to the worsening position in the UK, my view, the minimum they should have done is to require everyone in the house in which someone who's returning to the island will be living to isolate for 14 days, as well as the returning resident. I think it's crazy that someone can return to the Isle of Man, be infected with the virus, but be asymptomatic, pass it on to another member of their household, who in turn goes into the community and passes it on to anyone they come into contact with. I fear that it's only a matter of time, just a matter of time, says David, before this happens. I've written to the Health and Social Care Minister about this. His response was that the stats show that only about 6% of infected people pass on the virus to other members of their household. Well, 6% I think may be acceptable to the government, but not to me, says David. Thank you for your correspondence. Both Manchester, this is Chris, both Manchester universities and Sheffield already online lectures only, with Northumbria soon. Will the returning students bring COVID back to the Isle of Man as a Christmas present? What about the English newspaper saying that those essential workers, the key workers, the welders, were in Tesco and McDonald's? Why hasn't it been mentioned over here? Oh, it has, many times. Mike said, don't forget the manager of the welders admitted that he knew the rules. He'd read the paperwork and told the men they shouldn't go into the shop. He's just trying to shift blame for his own incompetence. The three Welshmen should have been jailed. Well, they were jailed, Mikey. It's just that their sentence was suspended. So they did get a custodial sentence, but it was suspended by the High Bailiff. And, of course, that was before. But we have sent lots of people. You heard Tim running through the number of people who've actually had custodial sentences, the ones that have gone to Derby. It just seems amazing that not everybody seems to get the picture. Text 166177. You can email studio@manxradio.com. Call 66 1368. Just a quick note, by the way, that tomorrow, of course, we're going to be live with the students of King William's College. It's the first outside broadcast, the first remote location broadcast we've done since before COVID-19. It's going to be so interesting to see what the students from King William's College have to say. And of course, there is an international aspect to that. They have lots of international students at King William's College. So it'll be interesting to see what their perspective is on this. Marion is with us. Good afternoon, Marion.
Good afternoon. And I'm just ringing to say all about these notices and these people not doing what they're asked to do. I used to be a college lecturer years ago now, but in business studies. And one of the things that was always pointed out was that people don't read notices. And, you know, they'll glance at them and then they'll just walk on. If you're getting off a boat, you're more concerned about where you're going and what you've got to do. Why can't they set up like a recording system? And every so often on the boat, it's played maybe every half an hour or an every hour. So they can't not say they don't know. I don't believe these people. I think they do know and they just don't care.
That's a very good point, actually. You're quite right. When you get off the boat, all you want to do, normally you're quite tired when you get off the boat as well, and you just want to move on. So I can't understand why they don't give them a big piece of paper, a big piece of cardboard that just says, you know, basically behave yourself or you'll go to jail. I mean,
do you think they'll take any? I don't think some of them will not take any notice of anything because they know and that they know to come to somewhere that's not as bad. They might get away with it. It's worth the risk. Let's do it, especially when they're young, I think.
And so. Interesting, Marion, of course, that, as you're saying, if they don't take notice of that, these are key workers. You just wonder how much notice they're taking of the key work they're supposed to be doing.
Well, is it monitored? Do they keep a record? Do they do the work to the standard? We don't know anything about them, do we?
OK. All right, Marion, thanks for calling.
OK, bye.
Thanks for calling us today. 28 minutes. That's 12 o'clock, midday. The Man in Line through till what? Any thoughts, by the way? And the Isle of Man seabird populations are plummeting. Who's to blame? Well.
Bran flakes? Tech. Pizza? Get stone baked? Tech. Tomato soup? Tech. Oh, and tuna. Remember, must be drained. Tech.
Now you can enjoy Sainsbury's famous quality and value all the way down your shopping list.
Tea bags? Tech. Kitchen roll, ultra absorbent, tick.
The By Sainsbury's ranges are the store cupboard and everyday items you use daily and save on whenever you shop.
Big tick for that.
By Sainsbury's, only at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Save over £420 by moving your mobile, unlimited broadband and landline to Shore. Bundle all your services into one great package right now. Simply sign up to a 24-month contract with Shore, enjoy all three services and save. Get more for less. So pop in store today and set up your very own great value big bundle. For details, visit shore.com.
Get more from Shore.
Do you have views for or against climate action? Are you yet to form your opinion on climate change? You may be interested in representing your community by joining the Isle of Man's Citizens Forum on Climate Change. For more information on how to apply, visit gov.im/citizensforum or contact the team by emailing climatechange@gov.im. Deadline for applications is the 11th of October. Help shape the island's future. Find out more now.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skip will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
For lunch every day of the week by the harbour in Ramsey, it's not to be missed. And if you're making plans to see your favourite bands, make the Cool Bar top of your list. At the Carvery on Sundays, you know they'll feed you well. Carl and the team hope you'll give them a bell. Just call 813045, it's the Mitre Hotel.
Time for a jog then, yes, sir.
Ah, why not?
Run a small business or just need more room in the back of your transport? Then visit Filshaw Vehicles in Tramode. Whether you're moving tools, boxes, sports equipment, pizzas, or even dogs, Filshaw has the perfect light van for all your needs. Specialising in vans for over 20 years, Filshaw always has a great range of used light commercials in stock, with finance available. Call into Filshaw Vehicles on the Tramode Estate. Call 49 51 49 or see the range at filshawvehicles.im.
Going back in time on the sounds of the nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
Later in the day, the town will be invaded by about 5,000 mods and rockers.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Chris Williams.
This is the medium wave service of Banks Radio, the first ever station to be authorized to broadcast in the medium wave band with a local commercial service for the people of the Isle of Man.
Saturday mornings, 8:30.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
And good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon to you too. I'd like to make a suggestion. It is not foolproof, but by God, it would go a long way to cutting down anybody getting to this island with the coronavirus. That is, by sea or air, everybody coming off their transport should be kept in the lounge, public lounge, by sea or air, as I just said, and they will not be allowed out of that lounge until such times as every one of them has had a corona test. That way you can, well, that chapter, the welder wouldn't be allowed here anyway, would he?
Have they got ones that work that, how quickly do they work?
Well, don't they say they can get the test out now in 2 or 3 days?
So they keep them at the sea terminal for 3 days?
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
Oh.
No. Everybody coming through the sea terminal or the airport terminal would have a test.
Oh, I see, yes.
Yeah, and whatever appropriate address they had to. If they had this test, they could be then approached by the government, whichever way they would like to do it, and brought in for their quarantine in a hospital, whatever other way they would decide to do it.
So at least we know. Yeah, no, that's a good thought, Brian. Thanks for that.
They couldn't get into this island and go into the community if they'd already had that test, could they?
Good point. Okay, Brian.
Okay.
Thanks for calling us today on the Man in Line. Since the border restrictions were introduced in March, by the way, we asked the government how many non-resident key workers have been granted travel exemptions. And the number is 1,229. 1,229 non-resident key workers have been granted travel exemptions. We also asked the government, have there been any changes to the checks being undertaken at the port in the last week? And they said processes and procedures are being constantly reviewed. Recent changes include a separate lane for key workers at ports and further changes to the key worker landing form to ensure that all conditions of entry are understood. Conditions of entry are also provided in writing on approval of an application for entry as a key worker. We also asked the government, will announcements be made on boats and airplanes travelling to the Isle of Man, reminding incoming travellers of the rules? And they answered, yes, announcements have been prepared for use on board ferries and discussions are taking place with the airlines. The Isle of Man government, they say, focuses on enabling the island to function while managing the risk posed by the pandemic. And how this happens is being constantly reviewed. Well, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, we're back to a weekly coronavirus briefing. The Chief Minister will be on Manx Radio tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It'll also be on YouTube and Facebook as well. You can see it and you can listen to it. Howard Quayle, Chief Minister, will be on, presumably with maybe the Health and Social Care Minister and some associated officers. So you'll hear that tomorrow live on Manx Radio. Lots and lots of reaction to this. Do we have a breakdown of the key workers, the jobs that they've done? We don't, Paul. I'm shocked and amazed that there appears to be minimal notices at the airport and the boat yet again. Somebody in a government post on the Isle of Man, I think, has been negligent, says Paul. Surely it was, as soon as it was announced that key workers would come to the island with restrictions, the government should have been making the announcements anyway on the steam packet vessels from the start. They bought the company on our behalf, so it's their responsibility, says Ian. Everybody coming here gets their landing forms checked in person, so why aren't they just told in no uncertain terms at that point? Are apprentices still considered to be key workers, says David? And is the boss of the five imprisoned welders being serious when he suggested that the driver dropped off his colleagues outside Tesco and thought they just wanted a smoke? Bearing in mind you have to drive to Tesco, you can't drive past it. It's in a cul-de-sac. Also, why haven't any key workers received exclusion orders alongside their convictions? Soft, inconsistent sentences, definitely not the answer, says Roy. Why can't they read and understand the rules, says Doreen? They had to apply to come. They had paperwork. Do they think they're above any rules? No wonder a cross is in such a mess. And Chris says, we're not reporting that one of the welders has COVID. Yes, we are, Chris. Thank you, Chris, for that. But we are. Carol, I heard the piece regarding the Alaman newspaper's coverage of the COVID-5. I read the article, and from what their supervisor said, I received the impression that this wasn't the first time that he'd taken the workers to the Alaman, but that was the first time they'd been caught. Maybe I'm mistaken, but carefully read his words and see what the inference says. Well, he did say, I think it was in one of our bulletins, said he thought it was different from when they were last here. I think they were last here in July. The engineers were given, as in everyone, the rules on paper when they departed the boat. Everyone's given the time the same when travelling here. These people were engineers. They're clever people. They're intelligent individuals, but a lack of care and common sense. They just come to the island with a lack of care or thought for our community. The boss of this company is just as much to blame. The company should have passed on the information. They were given the rules in writing and they were threw it on the dashboard when they were driving the vehicle. When they were in Tesco, they thought it was funny while they stood in the alcohol aisle. It's not acceptable. They deserve everything they get for their lack of consideration to others. And here's Veronica with us now. Good afternoon, Veronica.
Oh, hi. Yeah, afternoon. Nice afternoon. Yeah. Of not being judgmental about anyone or, you know, damning anyone, but just I just think about those young guys. I mean, I know you want to keep the island safe, and not being a key worker myself, I know it's very important and that and for everyone, but I just wondered, because really relatively they are quite young, you know, 18, well, to me I would say is quite like a boy. He wouldn't want to hit like a boy, like a young and somebody coming new to the island. I felt a bit sorry. It was like two things I did feel, you know, we shouldn't have done it. But what is the, I don't know what his title is, the manager, whoever it is, that the chap that owns the place that was working, that they were working for. But what did they really, a simple question, what did they really think those guys were going to do for food? So what was it going to do? Were they going to fresh air, water? What was going to happen? Was it not better learning curve really for positive for future rather than damn, and just think, well, maybe he should put food or provisions in for those kids, you know, really? You know, because what were they going to do? Although you could say carriers, who wants that? And they probably don't even know the island and they were new to the island. So, I mean, with that preparation that you've been done for provisions for those guys coming, really.
You're quite, you know, I mean, you're quite right. And again, these are young men.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
of course, this is affected. I think it's interesting to point out, again, these criminal offences will stay on their record now. They've got a criminal record because of this.
Quite sad, really, isn't it, really? But seriously, in a way, you know. And they're coming over. It's a bit pitiful if you look at it. Depends. You could look a couple of different ways out of the guess. But, you know, and I just thought about it. It has upset me as well, thinking, like, only 18. You think your nephews, your, you know, people that age, he's 18, they're children, really. Like, he is, one's 20. And they were going for food. I know they did break the law. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating that people do that, you know. And I say, you know, key work myself and that. And, you know, but COVID, you know, I've had it. So, I mean, I just think for a learning curve type of thing, not, as I say, to judge anyone, you get what I mean, but, like, could he not have provided food for them knowing that they were coming over? He said he recognised and he knew, acknowledged the conditions and that they made a mistake. But why, that's okay talking like that, but why did they not put, do they not think of putting food into that those places? I don't even know where they were staying, but did they not, you know, how did, think about it, how were they going to have food? Where were they getting the food from? And you know, everyone, you'd want your basics in there.
Okay. All right, Veronica, thanks for calling us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good.
All
right. Bless you. Thanks for calling today. Here's John. Good afternoon, John.
Hi. I think earlier on the program, you mentioned something about key workers being refused entry to work at the hospice.
Yes, we had some notice that the hospice had some key workers who were knocked back.
Yeah. Well, I know for a fact that a member of my family was fitting double glazed windows at the hospice, obviously local workers. And during the time they were doing this, key workers were brought in to fit a revolving door. Now, I can understand this was specialised work, because not every day do you get Manx workers fitting revolving doors. Now, as he said himself, he stayed away as far as possible from them. But my argument is they should have been pulled off that site while those key workers were there.
When was this, John?
Oh, about a fortnight ago, I think. Possibly 3 weeks.
Well, you'd wonder what the health and safety protocols were when that was happening.
Yeah, because it's the government departments that are bringing these people in. It's not private firms that are bringing them in, it's government departments.
Oh, right. It's an interesting point. Okay. All right, John, thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Okay, fine.
18 minutes to one on Manx Radio. Just a slight change of subject, by the way. John from Ballasalla dropped me a note just to say that the Isle of Man seabird population is plummeting, apparently. Why? Wind farms. Herring gulls down 82%. The European shag is down 51%, razorbills down 55%, the list goes on. One of the world's biggest offshore wind farms, of course, is just a few miles away. You can see it from the east coast of the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man wildlife charity, Manx BirdLife, has reported 40% decline in the population of many species of seabirds around the island's coast. The worrying figures emerged following a comprehensive census that took place over 2 years by the BirdLife, the BirdLife Atlas. Whatever the reason for the sharp decline in birds, it illustrates something's gone wrong. What it is, nobody quite knows, but something's in trouble. Also, there's an unprecedented drop in population of several of the island's maritime species, coinciding with the proliferation of wind farms in the Irish Sea, something that's worried people in the past few years. And there's, of course, a frenzied development of the wind industry in the waters off the western coast of England and Wales. And that enormous wind farm that is between the Isle of Man and Morecambe, you can see very, very clearly. Anyway, thoughts about that? We'll be looking more at that, actually, because what's one of the Isle of Man's niche tourism industries, certainly twitchers, bird watchers, are big business for the Isle of Man. Not at the moment, of course, but in the future. Interesting what Veronica said about 18-year-old boys and the boys from Hague Rail who were in jail. And she said, sometimes, you know, when you're a teenager, you believe rules aren't for you. You believe you're immortal. Everybody as a teenager believes that. So what do you think our returning teenagers will be thinking coming back from university in the UK at Christmas? Everybody on message? Any thoughts? Get in touch on the Man in Line. Manx Radio.
Did you know that Lace Auto Centre is the island's number one for looking after Land Rover? For service, parts and accessories. Did you know that we also apply the same skills and exacting standards to all other makes of vehicles? We've been trusted by islanders for years to repair, service and maintain all marks of vehicles. That's all at Lace Auto Centre. Just head up Douglas Head Road and turn right into South Quay Industrial Estate. Or call 610 910.
Attention property owners. Looking for a Plum sales or rental agent on the Isle of Man? Then your property could be a Plum property. Plum Properties are your local forward-thinking estate agent, embracing the latest technology to market your property across a wide range of portals. With added value, including free property appraisals, professional photography, a hard-working proactive service and out-of-hours availability. Renting or selling for Plum results and Plum value for money, call 820-600 or visit plumproperties.im.
Man Waste Recycling, Man Waste Recycling, 304-122.
We can all do our bit to help the environment. Here at Man Waste Recycling, we tailor our services to individual businesses by providing recycling solutions for cardboard, paper, UPVC, plastics, cans, cartons and more. We'll advise you on how your business can recycle so you can help make our island even more environmentally friendly.
Man Waste Recycling, call today.
Set in a beautifully restored Manx barn, just a mile from St John's on the Patrick Road, the cafe at Close Lease Farm isn't just another cafe. With 28 Great Taste Awards, it's a real destination for lovers of fine food. Whether breakfast, lunch, functions or private hire, we celebrate Manx ingredients by using produce from Close Lease Farm and across the island. Also visit the farm shop, where you can buy some of our award-winning produce to enjoy at home. For opening times and more, visit closeleasefarm.com or find us on Facebook.
Blackford & Company won't sell you any old car insurance because Blackford & Company aren't any old insurance brokers. They specialise in car insurance for Manx residents, and because they know the area, they tailor-make the policy to suit you. So, if you're aged 21 to 80, call Blackford & Company on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Why pay more when you could pay less? Don't delay. Call Blackford's today on 832 042. Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Q-Plus sale is now on. Come and visit the island's most extensive bathroom showroom for up to 50% off in the Crosswater Super Sale and up to 50% off in the Big Bathroom Sale across the Burlington, Clearwater and Britain ranges. With massive savings and more than 50 inspirational displays, now is the time to visit Q-Plus on Snugborough Trading Estate.
Another weekend means another chance to win here on Manx Radio. And this time, we could be sending you to the north of the island with £200 to spend at Miller Chaps of Ramsey. Their autumn sale is now on with a huge number of bargains in store. If you fancy getting your hands on the voucher, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to win with Miller Chaps of Ramsey here on the Nation Station.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The Man in Line.
12 minutes to one. Wednesday lunchtime's Man in Line. Tomorrow live from King William's College with the students of King William's College. Good to get out and about. What's wrong with saying in big bold letters, you will go to prison if you don't self-isolate directly? It's straight from the ferry or the flight to your place of residence. No slapping on the wrist with a suspended sentence. It's not about them. It's about the safety of the rest of us. This virus is a killer, says Kath. The Isle of Man needs to take some responsibility for what's happening. I travel back to the island in August. It was a joke. No announcement. And the person I spoke to when I got off the boat didn't even ask me if I was aware of the rules. All I got was in 14 days was one phone call, says that correspondent. The approach the island is taking, well, was taking in your case, is awful, and members of the public are kind of using bullying tactics. Government needs to stop allowing essential workers here. As for once the borders open, people will be scared to come, and I don't blame them, says this correspondent. The fear-mongering, this is Robin Ramsey, the fear-mongering over COVID is far-fetched. I think people's freedoms have been stripped, and we're stoking this fear up as well. We're not in a pandemic, and we never was, says Rob. If people bother to research instead of listening to propaganda, then they might have a different view. I think it's a scandal. That's it, says Robin Ramsey. Robin Ramsey thinks we're not in a pandemic, and we never were. Says Rob. Well, that's your opinion, Rob, and you're more than welcome to it as well. A note in that says regarding the COVID, it says Let me find here another one in saying that. Oh, yeah, returning residents who fail to isolate should be jailed, says Jane. It's the only way to make sure they don't break the rules again. Key workers who break the rules should be put on the next boat back, excluded for 5 years, fined, their employers fined as well. Putting key workers in jail is a financial burden and a health risk to the prison. By the way, we did get some word on what was happening at the hospice with those key workers from the UK fitting a revolving door. Somebody said that they were wearing different high-coloured vis vests, and they were fenced off from other workers. That's the report about the key workers at the hospice, although, as I mentioned, some key workers have been denied work at the hospice as well. Day 13 of my self-isolation in Ramsey, I've been visited once and I've been called once. Dave said, don't people realise COVID-19 is not going away? We can't keep wrapped in cotton wool forever, says Dave. We're not supplied with enough information to do anything but question what's going on, says G. What was the outcome of the antibody testing? How many travellers actually checked, given some got 3 or 4 calls out of the overall totals? What was the outcome of the Holmes investigation? We don't know yet. The investigation into Abbotswood in Ballasalla is still ongoing. As I mentioned the other day, the sign's been taken down at Abbotswood in Ballasalla. We don't know whether it's going to be renamed or they're just putting a new sign. Certainly there's lots of building work going on and refitting work going on at Abbotswood. Andy said, myself and partner came to the Isle of Man to start a new life from the UK. The government came round to the house we're renting at least 3 times to check we were in. We both support this 100%. Hi to Andy as well. Would you like some good news? Would you like to hear some good news, something that gladdens your heart? Have you been paying attention to Dylan Walton? 8-year-old fundraising superstar Dylan Walton is continuing his marathon challenge and offering a helping hand to another local athlete as he took on 26.2 miles. Well, Dylan is now 17.4 miles. That's around 2/3 of the way into the distance. He started Christian Varley on his remote London marathon run at the NSC with a high five. Dylan Walton is 8 years of age. He's hoping to complete the marathon in the next few days. Christian Varley and Dylan's dad, Jack, have been talking to Chris Pearson.
I can't understand how he's done it and he's not even sore, but yeah, my knees are starting to give me a bit of hip, so it's good.
You had the Chief Minister here flagging him off. You had the Governor here sort of flagging him across the line. And the whole community, so many people coming on. How much difference does that make?
It's massive. It just keeps him going. You can literally walk around here every night with no support, but you'd just be tired after 2 or 3 laps. But, I mean, with everyone's support behind him, he's kept him going.
And I understand he's already, without giving too much away, thinking about what he's going to do next.
He is. I mean, there is plans for next year, but obviously that depends on the borders because he does want to go across. It's another mountain, but it's a little bit higher than what we've done, and we're just going to keep things under wraps and just see how we get on.
Yeah, he's going to be one to watch, I think, in the future. His attitude's fantastic. He hasn't complained. The bits I've seen of him this week, he's just off he goes, looking fresh every day. So, yeah, he's inspiring to a lot of us.
Feeling part of this, being part of the community again, bringing back memories from earlier this year?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's been a while. It's kind of happened so quick. So, this does bring it back. And Mel, obviously, who worked for the fund at the time, you know, she put a lot of effort in. So kind of liaising with people like that again and everyone raising money, and that's what it's about.
Now, there you heard Christian Varley and Jack, Dylan's dad. Dylan Walton has set his sights on climbing a higher mountain. He's raised almost £28,000 for hospice. 8 years of age, a bigger challenge next year. Dylan set himself the task of climbing Snaefell earlier this year. He's been walking laps of the NSC track over the last 10 days and wants to do that marathon as well. And you can see a video of Dylan racing around the track at the NSC on Manx Radio's Facebook page. He is a remarkable chap. And I'll ask you just to take a look at some of the stuff that Dylan has been up to at the age of 8. Les says, Andy, come on, when's all this nonsense going to stop? It's a cold. And before you start telling people, say people are dying of it, I don't think people are dying of it. When you read the death figures and how they're worked out, it states death for any reason after testing positive for COVID in the last 28 days. So they could have had a heart attack or died in a car crash, but their death will still be counted if they have a positive test, says Les in Sulby. And Jane, returning resident, should be jailed, says Jane as well. And I think, says a subject that's been on the table for a while, the Manx MOT. So many English registered cars are running around and not being tested. So I just wonder what is going on. And I'm just going to leave you with the fact that the Isle of Man Planning Committee is looking to appoint two new members. The committee determines 20% of the Isle of Man's planning application. It meets once a fortnight, normally on a Monday in Douglas. You do 5 years, you've got to have a good knowledge of the Isle of Man and experience in the private, public sector or third sector. Formal qualifications aren't essential. The positions are available after two of the committee's six members reach the end of their term. So if you want to be a member of the planning committee, you need to call Steve Butler on 685903. That's Steve Butler at the planning department, 685903. Closing date for applications is the 11th of October. And there'll be interviews for that as well. There are some expenses. You get an allowance of £78 a session and travelling expenses. So if you want to find out about going on the planning committee, talk to Steve Butler on 685903. Thanks for your correspondence today. Thanks for your attention. And thank you for tuning into The Man in Line. Back tomorrow live at King William's College. Thanks to our studio producer today, Barry Radford. Have a lovely day. WINT.